This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Landfill, man, we're not going to stand for this all damn day. All right? I want to be clear. We're not listening to freaking Nickelback all day.
No, we don't have to do it all day. I only got like seven or eight more Nickelback songs in here.
Here's a preview of Bleep You Thursday. Bleep Nickelback and their Grand Canyon like an ass. All right?
Damn.
We will tolerate no Grand Canyon support.
Damn.
Even though Landfill NBs took Grand Canyon. Who'd you take, Maryland or Grand Canyon?
I don't remember.
Sounds suspect.
I'm serious. I don't remember, man.
All right, so our guy Lou that runs digital for Odyssey sent us a bracket. But we're going to have to – now, obviously, B-Mitch is the chairman of the committee, but we're all on the committee. The rules have been very clear that it has to be a physical bracket handed in accompanied by a $20 bill. Now, there has been some – there have been some workarounds with the cash for the pool. Because not everybody had cash, but people will Venmo, and then you get cash, et cetera.
As long as you bring the cash.
As long as Brian is presented with the cash, then he's cool with it.
I'm willing to work with it.
Now, Lou is trying to
get... Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Cash. Hypothetically, of course.
Yeah.
Now, Lou is hypothetically trying to break both rules by not handing in a physical bracket.
But you were earlier saying, well, man, he works with us. He lives in New York, though.
I was going to present the other side of the coin. But he lives in New York. So
we gotta allow it.
That's what, if you say allow it, then fine. I was gonna let it go to the committee.
Allow it.
All right.
He's in the company.
Who's paying for Lou?
Who's paying for Lou?
Yeah.
You. You paying for everybody else?
I'm Big Lou. I'm only on number two.
You presenting this case for him. You his lawyer.
Jeff, will you pay for Lou?
Jeff, like, who's Lou?
Here's what I will do. What I will do, we've been doing this every day at noon. We're giving away opening day tickets. Opening day, exactly a week away.
Yay.
Should be awesome, man. Next Thursday, Nats Park. Weather looks a little cool, so bring a jacket. I saw Doug Kammerer's advanced weather report. Looks like it could a high of 55, so not the warmest.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean it.
Based off of what we've been dealing with, I'll take 55.
Yeah, it you'll be just fine.
I'll take 55. It was back in D.C. too.
It is back in D.C.
Nah, I'm talking about the used to be a club.
Okay.
Well, you remember that club, Jeff?
Nah, that's before my time.
Caller number nine. Caller number nine right now, 800-636-1067. You win two Nats opening day tickets Thursday, March 27th against Philly. The first 20,000 fans get an opening day T-shirt. For the complete Nats schedule and tickets, visit thefandc.com. Now, if you don't win right now, if you're not caller number nine right now, you can listen to Grant and Danny today at 4 o'clock for another chance to win. We'll be giving away more tickets tomorrow. Our ticket giveaway for Nats opening day is at noon. G&D will be at 4. I think the Junks are doing it every morning, too, but I'm not sure exactly what time that is.
At 8 o'clock.
Junks do it every morning at 8. So listen, 8, noon, 4. There's a pattern there. They're all 4 hours apart. You'll have three chances every day this week from the fan to go to Nats opening day. Be there. I'm going
to
be there.
How hard you have to think about that to say that?
8, 12, 4. That worked.
The 8 and 12, you have to really work on that.
Some stuff just works in my brain, man. Some stuff doesn't. Here's the other part of it. I know that we all run four-hour shows. So, if it's going to hit in everybody's show, I could kind of figure that out. All right, you want to run through officially who is hypothetically in the bracket?
All right, hypothetically in this bracket, we have B-Mitch,
yes.
JP, Landfill, Jeff, Wright Brian, Metal Chris, Biagi, Greg Height, Lou D, we got, once you give me $20, Lou D, Beasley, once you hypothetically give me money, Kerwin, Big Mitch, Wildcard Scotty, Aaron, Valdez, Toby, Mike Smith, and also Mr. Tom Weingartner.
All right, we are locked and loaded, man. This is going to be fun. I can't wait for the brackets to start. I can't wait for the madness to start. I saw a tweet that's like the longest hours of your life are from when you wake up till you wait for the first tip-off in the NCAA tournament. And right now it feels like that. All right, Lou is good. Lou is in. Lou, if you're listening, you are all the
way
in.
Got you, Lou. 19.
I'm surprised the Cluster Buster didn't want in and isn't here, aren't
he's
you?
Sick.
Oh, he's sick. Oh, that's right. He sent an email.
Yeah.
Well, get well soon, Cluster Buster. So today we got plenty of action.
You want me to put him in and pick and fill out a thing for him?
Nah, if he's sick, he's probably not in the mood. The first three games.
I'll fill out one for him. He'll probably win.
I know. We got Creighton, Louisville. That's the first game, 12-15. Louisville's a 3.5-point favorite.
Give me Creighton.
My guy at the bar has a Louisville first half ticket, and it's $100. And he says if they win, he owes me a beer. How about that?
Hey, you're not getting one without me.
Second game, you can have mine. I got a long day ahead of me.
Me too.
Second game, yeah, but different sort of. I will catch up with you at 6:00.
I gotta go hang out with some people, and they're being honored for the bike ride to Gettysburg.
Where is that? Here?
No, at the Caps game. With KPMG.
Oh, that's who all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah. And the FOA, Face of America crew.
High Point playing Purdue in the second tip-off. That's at 12:40 p.m. Purdue's a big favorite in that. They're an 8.5-point favorite. A lot of people really like High Point.
Yeah. They have two players from bigger schools that can ball out.
You know what's interesting in the era of, like, the transfer portal now is – any dude that's pretty good, say you're at a mid-major and you are able to score 19 a game and grab 9 boards and you look like a player, right? You're moving up to a Power 5.
Quickly.
And then anybody that's at a Power 5, and if you start at a Power 5 and then, yo, this dude's averaging 3 points, he was a big-time recruit.
He's out.
He's going to the mid-major. Like, it's like, you know, at the mall, like the escalators always face each other, going up and down. Like that's the exact scenario. You know what I mean? And so the some of those dudes are going to go down. Some of those dudes are going to go up. It's going to be interesting to watch. But High Point, the action is a little slanted towards High Point. Like 65% of the bets, 60% of the money is on High Point. Most of the money's on the over. There's a little bit on the under. I kind of like the under in that. But if you want,
what's the under? What's the number?
152.5.
So basically 76.
Yeah. But dog, look,
I do like to slow it down sometimes.
Well, and usually these teams shoot bad in the early games. That's just like kind of.
But like earlier, you were talking about like the underdogs normally win. You know what? In the first round, the underdog has nothing. They playing with house money. Okay. Oh, we not supposed to be. We just gonna go out and let it hang. And the other teams, they start off all tight, and then all of a sudden you look up and they're down by 10, 15, and then all of a sudden, what do? You start jacking up stuff you shouldn't be jacking up. So we'll see.
All right, if you can hear that difference, I'm not sure you can, but they just started cranking the audio in here at Tap Sports Bar. If you want to come hang out, we're here for another 2 hours or so at Tap Sports Bar, MGM National Harbor, but 106.7 The Fan is here till 6:30 tonight. Because Grant and Danny are going to do their show live here. It's going to be a fun night, man. What's interesting on this High Point Purdue game, though, B, is the money line action. Because you can get High Point at plus 285, there's way more money on the High Point money line than the Purdue money line. Just because of the payout is my guess. Because if you want to bet Purdue, it's minus 360.
Uh-huh.
The game I like, dude, is the third tip-off today. This is 1:30 on TNT. Wisconsin is laying 16.5 to Montana. That's a lot of points, man. And Montana has a player named Money Williams.
I'm going with money, dog.
Hard to argue with money, man.
I'm going with money.
Now, I don't know what to make of this. Wisconsin played either 3 or 4 games in 3 or 4 days. To get to the Big Ten Finals and now has to play on Thursday. Like, Wisconsin played on Sunday, And they looked gassed in that game.
They did.
16.5 is just a big-ass number. White Brian, how do you feel about that number, dude? That's big.
It's very big. The issue is Montana doesn't really play defense, but Money Williams and the guys can shoot the basketball.
If they,
so where, they don't play defense.
Where is that game? Is that in Denver?
Yes, it's in Denver. And Montana's used to the altitude.
Yeah, dude. Montana's ready for the altitude. I don't know. I like the Grizz in that one. Then at 2 o'clock, Houston, SIU, Edwardsville. Brian Mitchell, what do you know about SIU Edwardsville?
Nothing.
That makes two of us.
I know about as much as you do.
I can't even tell, based on this picture, what would you call that mascot?
A cougar. You don't see S.
Oh, I see where it's written out. I missed that and just looked at the picture.
You know, I'm noticing that you and Greg are very, very similar.
I'm going to show the stream how Brian cracked the code.
I mean, it was written. Just read it. What the hell?
Yo, so you know me pretty well, B. You know how I like to bet. I like underdogs. I like taking points rather than laying them. With the Houston Cougars, the way they play defense against the SIU Edwardsville Cougars, I think I'm going to lay that.
How much?
28.5.
Probably so, yeah.
Bro,
yeah.
That final could be 100 to 53.
Could the Cougars against the Cougars?
Oh, yeah, battle of the Cougars.
You got to make sure the real Cougars win.
I wonder if they did that on purpose.
Hey, they might have, knowing them.
I don't – it's an 8-9 game. It's basically a coin flip. Creighton versus Louisville. It's Big East versus ACC. What's wild is it's old Big East versus old whatever the hell Creighton was in, the Summit or Horizon League or something. You have a lean for Creighton, Louisville? Like, in the pool, it's one thing to just pick a team, but I wouldn't bet this game outside of, like, just wanting action in the first game.
Yeah, that was just trying to get some action. Because in the pool, that's one that they may get up so bad, so let's rest our guys.
Yeah, I mean, so. Maybe, if anything, I'd probably like the under. In fact, might do that. Yo, you 5 cents. And wrote Nickelback. That's pretty damn funny. Not going to lie. I got to give Comandante a little bit of credit right there. Bleep Nickelback, if anybody's concerned. I don't have – so Creighton, Louisville, the ball is tipped, baby. We're live action here.
Uh-oh. Let's go, baby.
Damn, this dude looks hurt off the break.
Off the bat? Man, come on, dog.
Grabbing his wrist. Brian, do you know where Creighton is located?
In the United States.
That's accurate.
I don't know where the hell Creighton is.
It's in the Midwest.
Chicago.
No,
Illinois.
South.
South?
I think. Maybe west also, but definitely south.
In Missouri.
No, close.
Kansas.
No, but right next to it, I believe.
You made me work, bro. Just tell
You're
us.
Also making me work. Nebraska. Yeah, it's in. There are two Omaha teams in the tournament.
Nebraska.
Yeah. And
Lafayette, do that earlier next time in just my ear. We can save the money.
And how about this, B? The Creighton Blue Jays. Blue Jay is all one word. Usually Blue Jay is two words.
Yeah.
But for the Creighton Blue Jays, it's one word.
That's cray-cray.
Do you care about that whatsoever?
Not at all. because they – listen to me. They are a Blue Jay. Blue Jay is a bad dude or something? No.
No.
They'll attack everybody.
Blue Jays are legit mean birds.
Yeah, but they attack birds till you run on about a big one that don't play with them.
I don't know. Remember we learned that owls will get your ass. I love this. We're going to have – so that's True TV over here. So that's the next game coming on. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I love the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
It's – oh, no. Everybody's booing
because
the big screen's just froze. I'm sure they'll come back.
Yeah, we don't like that.
All right, Creighton, Louisville, underway from – I can't tell where the hell they are. I assume it's on the East Coast somewhere.
It doesn't say.
This game has dog written all over it. What did you take in this game?
They're in Lexington.
Ryan? All right, so they're in Kentucky. Okay. Which is where Maryland could have gone instead of Seattle, I might add.
tell Maryland to figure out what's close to Chambers Bay while they're out there so I can make sure I get the right place to stay when I go play my golf tournament.
I will ask for that information, Brian.
Yeah.
Who was telling me they're in – never mind. It's something off air, but I do have a friend in Seattle. We are going to talk to J.I. Halsell in just a moment. We are going to open the phone lines up at 1 o'clock. I love being in a casino for March Madness. Did you ever – before sports betting became, like, super legal all over the country, there's now 38 states you can bet in. Did you ever go out to Vegas for the NCAA tournament?
Once.
Dude, that was fun. I mean, the sports books were just packed.
I've been out to Vegas for a lot of different sporting events and other events, too. Vegas is just wild.
So, but it was more of a destination for sporting events before every state had sports betting. I did a Super Bowl. I actually did the Super Bowl when Von Miller – no, I did the Super Bowl when the Legion of Boom, when Seattle beat Denver. And I was on Seattle. It was pretty Gucci. And then I think I did two March Madness trips out there, which was
that was right. I won the bet.
What was the bet?
It was going to be full by the time the first tip off.
Well, we had no.
We bet 50.
No, we did not.
We bet $50, though.
No, we did not.
We bet 50 cents.
You can take it from White Brian.
Man, I can't take it out of his friendly, it's savings.
White Brian, have I staked you 20 or are you too scurred?
No, I'll bet it.
Okay. All right, we'll see how this goes. We're just getting warmed up. We are live at MGM National Harbor, Tapped Sports Bar. We're watching the NCAA tournament. Come through, come say what's up. Good amount of dudes hanging at the bar. I'm going to tell you the truth. This ain't the vibe to come looking for women. Like, if you're looking to find a date, this isn't the spot. If you're looking to watch the games, drink beer.
Tomorrow night it will be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow. Well, later on in the day.
Later on tonight, yeah.
The ladies say they going to work today. The dude, like, I'm taking off and go watch the game.
Yo, you know what's wild? You see the dude with the goatee at the bar and the cap shirt? He showed me this picture. 5 years ago, he got an OV-895 license plate.
Wow.
Yo, 5 years ago, Ovi was at like 600 gold.
And that dude had hope.
That's pretty cool, right?
I like that. I like that.
5 years ago, I doubt I would have known what OV-895 meant. I might have been able to like decipher it from context.
Probably later on tomorrow night you won't know what it means. To be honest with you.
I think I'll be all right.
Don't think so.
When we return, J.I. Halsell joins the program. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Moments we hope to be joined by our friend J.I. Halsell at SalaryCap101. If you want to give him a follow, he used to work for the Skins in the front office, used to run his own agency. This is a dude that understands how the salary cap works. He understands how NFL contracts work. Wanted to talk to him about Debo a little bit. There is some real news, though. If you heard me screaming about possible hypothetical things happening at the University of Maryland. Our guy Jeff Ehrman, that we've had on the program a ton. It looks like Jeff Ehrman, who I believe thoroughly in his reporting for Inside MD Sports, says, as I reported earlier for Inside MD Sports subscribers, I won't be surprised if Damon Evans is hired by SMU for their athletic director vacancy. So when you lose your AD, a lot of things could start to change. And basically, there's a ton of speculation that Kevin Willard might be getting hired by Villanova. I don't mean this with malice, but I'm going to speak maybe not on behalf of all Terps fans, but at least on this alum. Good luck, fellas. See ya. Like, has there been a parade of national championships in major sports that I've missed in College Park over the last 5 years?
Fans want to run the other direction a lot of times.
I'm not saying I don't want anyone to leave, but, like, you get a better job, you get more money somewhere else, see ya. Like, we'll be all right. Now, the Maryland's Olympic sports, their non-football and basketball sports, are really great. But you know what? They were great before Damon Evans. They have nothing to do with Kevin Willard.
Yeah.
Like, Lacrosse has been great there for a long time, independent of who the AD is. All right, I'll get back to that. Right now, however, we're going to get a little smarter. Our guy J.I. Halsell is on the line. I'm guessing he's out in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. J.I., what up, dude?
What's going on, fellas? I am out here in beautiful Arizona.
Yeah, you out there with all that good weather, man.
Yeah, but
don't rub it in.
That's right. That's right.
Don't rub it in.
It's going to be 79 degrees and sunny today.
Yeah, talk to me in August.
I don't even mind it.
It'll be 115, and I'll be in a nice pool.
Dude, after finally experiencing the dry heat, I don't mind it. I'm cool with it. But
man, we had hell with that stuff out there when we were there.
Dude, I liked that better than the humidity in Tampa. Anyway.
All day long.
All right, J.I., I texted you yesterday to talk about this Debo restructure for the Commanders. And more information has come out. Basically, they were going to have to pay him this $15 million roster bonus. So they just they kind of converted it to a little bit more guaranteed money. And it allows them to get completely out of the deal at the end of this season. You know, with what we know now, it kind of looks like this is actually to Washington's advantage.
Yeah, I think, I haven't seen the details, but I know he was in the final year of his deal anyway. Without having seen the details, if there are voidable years added on there to try to reduce the cap number, because otherwise he was already on a one-year deal coming to Washington. So the only reason why you would guarantee some of the existing compensation would be to get some of that cap relief. And then you add some incentives in there to try to make them motivated so that maybe down the road this season you end up with a contract extension. But either way, you know, from a cap management standpoint, they felt like the contract that they traded for from San Francisco required some revising to make it better for their cap management purposes.
I think that kind of adds up to me. Yeah. What do you think about where Washington is salary cap wise as far as if another move was to come?
I think that they're in great shape. And look, you know, it's a copycat league, right? And so when you see how the Philadelphia Eagles manage their cap, and it seems like they've got just this ability, even with a starting quarterback contract on their books, to still be able to go sign guys and extend guys. The key to at least their approach has been to do what I just said, adding these voidable years so that you can prorate the guaranteed money out as far as you can, which then reduces the cap numbers, which then allows for you to, acquire more talent. And so when you think about layering that onto Washington, it's the same approach. They're in a great space from a cap space standpoint, but you don't want to kind of use all of your cap allocations on particular players. So if you can kind of manage the cap where you expand out those cap hits, then it allows just for you to have more flexibility, allows for you to go get more guys. It allows for you, quite honestly, to make your current roster, the Terry McLaurins, who are going into the final year of their contracts as an example, you know, happy by getting extensions done. So, it's a long-winded way of saying that they're in a great space whereby if they do it the right way, they can kind of keep this momentum going moving forward.
Jay, are there any downsides to those type of things, those voidable years that are pushed out?
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, so let's use the Eagles as an example, right? The gamble, and it's a little bit of a measured gamble, is as long as you hit on more of those extensions, more of those contracts where you pushed, you know, year cap allocations into the future. If you hit on more of those than you miss, then you're going to be fine because it's going to lead to wins. It's going to lead to a better roster. For example, in the Philadelphia example, they were able to miss on a Carson Wentz extension as an example. Like, they gave the kid an extension, didn't work out, but yet they've still been able to move on because they were able to get other guys extended early, guys like Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, and you look at how they've managed their receiver position versus how Cincinnati's measured theirs, you know, there's a stark difference. It becomes way more expensive when you don't do it that way, as an example. But there is, yes, a risk that if you do miss on a contract extension or a contract that you put voidable years in, that you're going to have to live with some dead money for guys that you miss on.
Well, dude, It's funny with the Cincinnati thing you mentioned, because obviously they waited a year and then had to pay way more, a much higher freight, right? But do you think they could still afford to figure things out with Trey Hendrickson?
Look, I say this all the time. There are always ways to make the contract structure fit your cap situation. Now, the biggest challenge that Cincinnati has isn't really cap management. It's more cash flow. They're not a cash-rich team, right? And so it requires them to do certain things from a structure standpoint that a team like, say, the Dallas Cowboys that are cash-rich, and even though they don't act like it, they don't have to do. So to your Trey Hendrickson question, yeah, there's a way to structure a contract to fit within their cap considerations and bring him back at a number that makes sense for him and makes sense for the Cincinnati Bengals and a structure that makes sense for the Cincinnati Bengals. They just have to have a willingness to do it.
See, we want Washington to construct a contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Cincinnati.
This is premature, right? I mean, we're talking whatever it is, 2 years away. Ryan and I have just had, like, fun conversations about what we think the number will be for Jaden Daniels when he becomes eligible for an extension.
Yeah.
And we're trying to extrapolate salary cap. I mean, we're trying to extrapolate a lot, right?
Yeah.
What do you think that deal looks like?
I don't know that he, you know, I think the magic question is, does he have a chance to be the first $100 million per year quarterback, right? And it really kind of just depends upon, without getting into all the details, the kind of way you value these deals, you know, new money average per year versus, you know, the true average per year from the day he signs the deal. That aside, while the cap is growing exponentially year over year, right? I don't know that he gets to 100. Could he get to 90? I think 90 is very plausible. And again, 90 is not the end-all, be-all metric, or average per year is not the end-all, be-all metric on these deals. It's really, you know, what's guaranteed at signing and all those pieces. But I think there's a chance that he gets to 90 after year three. And obviously they would be very smart to, assuming he continues to play at a high level here in year two and into year three, very smart to get him extended as soon as he is eligible after his third year.
Wow.
Man, listen, I'm born too soon, man. A little pissed off here, J.I. But, hey, J., like, what would something look like Terry? You know, Terry doesn't cause a lot of issues and things like that.
Right.
If he was to get an extension, how would that look?
Yeah. I think his magic number, like, you see a guy like Chris Godwin in Tampa, great locker room guy, just like Terry, super productive for the Bucs before obviously having a dislocated ankle this season. And Godwin got like $24 million per year. I think Terry's probably in that same ballpark where it's probably in the mid-20s, $25 million per year, because he is going into his age 30 season. I don't think he's going to break the bank and be in excess of $30 million per year. But I think he is a $25 million per year guy, not too different than the deal Chris Godwin signed with the Bucs.
Look at this.
You don't think the DK deal changes that, though?
DK's deal is technically $24 million per year, not $30
million.
Oh. So it further supports the notion that Terry's a $25 million per year wide receiver.
Okay.
Let me ask you, J.I., Terry came into the league, he was almost 24, 25 at that point. And when he hits 30, that's a lot less than a guy coming to the league at 21 hitting 30. Do they ever look at that type of deal?
In terms of just kind of the wear and tear, like he's only got like 6 or 7 years of wear and tear versus
a
21-year-old at the same age is going to have 9 years of wear and tear.
Yeah, because when they look at everybody look at the number, age, and I think the wear and tear in the NFL is a world of difference if you've been in it for 6, 7 years or you've been in it for 9, 10 years.
I think, you know, regardless of kind of what age they were when they came into the league, I think it's really, well, have they shown an ability to stay healthy, right? Have they been available? And obviously when they've been available, have they been productive? And then when we think about our internal scouting and when we think about our training staff, do we project Terry McLaurin to still continue to be able to play at a high level into his age 30, 31, 32 seasons? And if we're all in agreement that, yeah, it looks great from a trajectory standpoint, then, yeah, we are willing to pay him $25 million per year, and let's just say it's a 3-year extension, and maybe, you know, we'll guarantee $50 million of the 75. But all of those things do play into kind of the risk mitigation, risk management part of crafting a contract extension for one of your core members of the team.
So much going on. What do you think happens with Micah in Dallas?
Oh, I mean the weekend Miles Garrett and Max Crosby got those edge contracts. I mean, that was a great weekend for Micah Parsons, and he is keenly aware of it. He's on top of these things. So, I mean, Micah is going to end up being like a $45 million per year guy. At least he should be. Now, the way Dallas has managed their cap and done their contracts as of late, it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. But if we're talking about where the market is now for edge players, I think the two markets that have grown a lot over the past 10 days or so is that edge market and the cornerback market. So Micah should be a happy guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Jay, I appreciate you, man. Who you got?
Appreciate you, brother, man.
Who you got winning the title?
In the tournament?
Yeah.
It pains me to say, but I got Duke. And I think, look, Auburn's really, really good. And I think Jonai is really, really good for them. But I'm going to go with Duke.
Duke's good, man. I don't like saying it either.
Yeah.
Yo, thank you for the time, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, Jay, I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
All right. J.I. Hallsell, give him a follow at SalaryCap101. Going to get you some tournament updates. Phone lines open in 15 minutes. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. B. Mitchell Finley live, MGM National Harbor, Tap Sports Bar. Big man Mitch Tischler over there with a giant tower of beer, and
he could probably grab that towel and it looked like it's a regular glass in his hand.
Hold on, I got to show you this picture. I don't know how John Keim found this picture, but we have a text thread with just a bunch of the guys that cover the team, and Keim sent this photo of me and Mitch from a few years back. I don't know what is going on here, but look at Big Man shotgunning the giant.
He's shotgunning the whole man. Mitch is crazy.
Look at that,
y'all.
Big man,
crazy dude,
Mitchell. Where is this photo from? Dude, keep eating. We'll follow up. I'm just showing this. I'll show it to the stream, too.
Yeah, you like to start stuff.
That's a lot of beer. Here,
you like to start
looking
stuff
at the stream.
Say, oh, we going. Don't worry about it. Keep eating.
Come over here for Bleep You. I'll let you finish your food. I wanted to – did you see Scottie Scheffler's meal yesterday, B. Mitch? You were busy,
yeah.
So I don't know if you saw it.
I actually saw it in a text thread, and then I heard the junkies talking about it this morning.
What'd you think of his dinner?
Hey, man, you do what you like, not what everybody else likes.
I totally agree with that.
You know, I'm with that.
I do think chili's a little aggressive.
Hey, but still, I mean, as long as they don't put beans in it, you're okay. You don't want to be in a closed room with a bunch of dudes eating beans.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It could be a little gassy in there.
It could get a little gassy. So last night, for Channel 4, I got to make my own master's dinner. Uh-oh, Pete in the building. Hello, sir.
So you want to know what mine would be?
Pete looks jacked. Nah, I was going to tell you
Pete
mine.
Been lifting, man.
Pete looks jacked, dude. All right.
Good.
So here's what I did. My appetizers were charbroiled oysters.
Yep.
Old Bay spiced shrimp, steamed shrimp, and buffalo wings.
I'll do the spiced shrimp without the other stuff you said.
What? No, this is my meal. You don't get to dictate.
Okay.
And I also mandated that all of the seafood was from the Chesapeake Bay, not the Gulf.
Well, guess what? That can't happen.
I'm just telling
you,
dog.
Because you won't have enough to feed the people.
Then I got Caesar salad and French onion soup. But nothing exotic here, but they're just great.
All right.
Entree is Cajun ribeye served with crab Norfolk, cream spinach, sauteed mushrooms, and my dad's potatoes. My dad used to slice these potatoes up real thin, fry them up, and then put a little mint sauce on them. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Dessert, chocolate pudding pie.
Chocolate pudding pie. Yep, not going to do that.
Yo, this is my meal.
I know. I'm just saying I'm not going to do it, so I'm going to eat my meal now.
Hold on. Why wouldn't you have chocolate pudding pie?
I've never liked that.
Dog,
it's the best. I'm a texture guy.
When I brought it in, you liked it.
I did not eat that.
Yes, you did.
No,
you
I did,
did.
Not. JP, I didn't eat it.
You did.
I was the only person that didn't eat it. Everybody else ate it. Landfill was telling me I should try it, and I said, nah, I'm not trying that. Now, I would do the charbroiled oysters with you.
They're great.
Then I love these, what's the little roll I was trying to get? But I love, like, the Texas egg rolls kind of. But I take them. I'll do them with some crab meat in it instead of the chicken. And then for my my dinner, I'm going to have a variety of things. Etouffee, gumbo, and then I'm going to have fried catfish on the side with the with everything that goes with it. My dessert is going to be, my mom used to do this German chocolate cake. That's what I want.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Jeffrey, what would your master's meal be? You get to pick the whole damn meal.
Oh, man. I probably had some Brian Mitchell gumbo. B, got to make the – and that's the appetizer.
That's the appetizer?
That's the appetizer. Damn. Yeah, we eating good that day. And then the main course, I think I'm going to make some jerk chicken. Yeah, I'm going to cook it, though.
You want to cook your own?
Yeah.
Nah, they don't cook it for you.
Nah, but I think I feel as though I season better than, you know.
No, you don't.
Have you ever seen the scene in The Office where Dwight is talking about his wildest dream is living in hell with the devil, and then somebody says it out loud to him, like, your wildest dream is to live in hell with the devil? So this is the most incredible meal you can have in the world, and you want to cook it yourself, and you want jerk chicken?
I want to cook portions of it myself, yes.
Okay, dog.
Yes, and then I'll have my grandma make the dessert because she just makes some incredible pies.
What your grandma going to tell you is, dog, these people cooking all this stuff for us to enjoy ourselves because you get to pick it. I'm not cooking a damn thing. You better let these people cook their food.
Nah, man. Some
she'll give them the recipe and they'll do it themselves.
It just hit better when certain people cook it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is the master's menu.
All I'll say is
your grandma come in the kitchen.
I think they are better than even your grandmother.
Nope.
Like here's what I'm saying. Nope. The potatoes I want cooked, like they're the way my father cooked them, but I want those dudes to cook them that way.
That same way.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I want that recipe.
Well, can grandma at least be in the kitchen with them? Can I at least be in the kitchen with them?
No, your grandma gonna be enjoying it.
Couldn't you just bring your grandmother to enjoy it rather than make her work?
But it's just, you know. When I eat, see, I like to eat, and I like things.
We're aware that you like to eat.
Yeah, we saw you. We know you like to eat.
Tastes my way, so, you know, sometimes they don't be adding the right amount of seasoning and stuff.
Creighton just went hot from deep. Creighton, all of a sudden, it's 40-25 in that game. High Point, now it's early, but High Point is absolutely sticking with Purdue.
11-11.
11-11, 6 minutes into that game. They've already we're getting through TV timeouts and stuff here. All right, folks. I don't know who's answering the phones. I assume it's the Professor Landini. The phone number is 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It's time for Bleep You Thursday. Let's get it going.
Bleep Jeff.